Everybody, and welcome to a very special bonus edition of the Paint It Black podcast. My name is Pete Berg, and joining me to ruin Star Trek Into Darkness for you, my co-host Brian Katz.
I'm boldly going with no spoilers gone before.
My other co-host, Lou Figueroa.
I don't have anything funny to introduce myself with.
And our movie buddy, Justin Herman.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What about spoils?
That was good, though. When you said boldly going, I was like, wow.
I almost threw in a was up to really throw it back, but didn't.
Throw it back to what?
To what?
To like 1998 or something.
Yeah, keeping it. Keeping
the last
it Star
time
Trek.
There was a good Star Trek movie. I don't know.
Where's the beef?
No, last time there was a good
was
Star
well before
Trek
that.
Was 2 years ago.
No, that's true. Good point.
Yeah, the other one was really good.
All right, so we came up with the idea here to talk about the summer movies. We've given you a week to watch it. Star Trek came out last week. We originally did this with Iron Man 3, lost the episode, Brian.
Computer crashed. I cannot be held down. I'm sorry. Held accountable for it.
Sounds like lies.
I know, right? But we're back, and we're starting officially this week, and we're going to redo our Iron Man. We're going to get a little Great Gatsby, right?
Yeah, that was another movie we're going to do.
And
next week's The Hangover.
Next week is The Hangover.
3.
You excited about that?
I'm actually really excited about it.
I could not be less interested.
Everything I'm about.
The second one was a duplicate of the first one.
And it wasn't...
And I didn't want to see that in theater, but I want to see this one. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to watch it just to round out the series.
Yeah, well, Leslie Chow's worth the price of admission.
All right. I'll just watch Community and watch him be
who
the same guy.
Who do you think Leslie Chow is?
Oh, that's the Kim from the Office. Yeah. Community.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can watch Community and you get the same character. The megalomania... That... Can't even talk tonight. Megalomaniac little Asian guy. All right. Sure. So what do you say? Let's do a little spoilers here.
Sure.
All right. One more time. If you haven't seen the movie, you might want to turn this off.
Now turn it up.
Or if you don't want to see the movie.
If you want to save
but you want
$20.
And you want to pretend you did, well, you could keep listening.
We're better than IMAX.
Cook your hot dogs now. We'll wait.
And don't do what Justin does and drink 4 gallons of soda right before it starts.
Okay. It didn't bother me.
We came in there right out of the podcast. We ordered a box of peanut. No, not peanut. It was pretzel M&Ms, a huge bucket of popcorn, 2 54-ounce sodas, and a bag of Sour Patch Kids, all destroyed before the opening scene.
Before the fucking trailers rolled. We didn't even get to the Superman trailer.
That's all
we
got.
We got another bucket, too.
You know what you got to do, is so you don't have to leave, is buy 2 drinks and then just pee directly into the cup that you emptied out.
Oh, down one, pee in,
yeah.
Whip across theater,
uh-huh.
Enjoy rest.
What actually, not a bad idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you go like early in the morning like I do, it's no problem.
I mean, if it's that early, I'll just stand up and then and just turn
just
around.
Unleash.
Are you guys ready to kick this off?
Star Trek, let's go.
Okay, movie opens. Mysterious planet Nibiru. Kirk and Bones are running through the woods being chased by, I guess, natives with spears.
Well, it looks like they just got jettisoned out of fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Yeah, exactly. Spears shooting at them. They got some sort of mystic scroll in their hands. We know they're leading them away from something. Cut to Spock in a volcano. Apparently, this volcano is strong enough to destroy that entire planet somehow. That's at least what they kept saying.
They call it the Death Star volcano.
And I got another. What was the point of grabbing that Constitution thing? The
grabbing of the scroll. They say it in the movie.
But
was,
why?
Because they were praying to it, and I took it. It was to lead them away.
Get them away from the blast.
But yeah. The blast froze. So, or they weren't going to originally freeze
Spock
it?
It wasn't going to. They were going to let it go because they couldn't violate the Prime Directive.
So, question. What was that blast going to blow up?
What, the volcano?
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was going to wipe out the indigenous people.
No. Oh, so they're supposed to let that happen?
No, they were trying to stop it, but you didn't get this.
I get that.
All right, they were trying to stop the volcano.
Okay.
But
Plan B
they
was...
can't let any of these natives necessarily see the Enterprise.
Okay.
It's part of the Prime Directive.
It would
observe.
Blow their fucking mind. Yeah. If they
exactly. Observe, don't interfere.
Okay, so how are they planning on stopping it without, I forgot how.
All right, Spock's in the volcano with a cryo
bomb.
Oh,
right, he's supposed to freeze it.
He's going to freeze it.
All right, we're good.
But Spock's...
We're good.
This is going to be a long
No.
Well, to tell you the truth, that first part doesn't make... Except the fact that Kirk saves Spock does not matter at all.
Well, it comes into play after that, but it, That's where it gets a little
like
nuts.
Kirk could have done the same thing, and they would have saved a lot of money, special effects wise, if Kirk just busted open a door and was like, "Don't sleep with her. She's got AIDS," or something like that. Like, he could have like, saved his life just as good.
I'm not following any
of that. All he did was save his life.
Yeah, so
Spock didn't want him.
Spock didn't want him to save his life because, again, violating the Prime Directive. Mm-hmm. Kirk breaks the rules, pulls the Enterprise out of the ocean, beams up Spock just in the nick of time. Again, the rules of teleporting are a little dicey to me. And we'll get into that as we go through the movie.
Did they launch out of the water?
Yeah.
No, but not the Enterprise. The thing that they had Spock on hanging off of. Did they actually show you that?
The little shuttle craft?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see.
But that was small enough to maneuver. You can't have that big-ass Enterprise.
Why not put that shit in, like, Invisicloak?
I don't know if that's a technology or if that's a word you just
made up.
The
Klingons got that shit, right?
Invisicloak?
Yeah, you cloak your ship.
Do they call it that?
They call it cloak something. They Klingon cloak their ship, don't they?
Like, Klingon cloak.
I'm not a huge Star Trek fan. I swear that happened back in the old series.
I think Invisicloak is a Harry Potter.
Isn't that what fucking Frodo had?
Wow.
Maybe they didn't have the ring.
That Invisicloak gets around, actually.
Mordor or Hogwarts.
Hogwarts, yeah, it's
and when they fire, I'm definitely right. When the Klingon ship fires, you see it. It comes out of cloak.
Okay, shut up for a minute. Let's get back to the movie. We're done with the Invisicloak, right?
I'm telling you.
Right. So, they rescue Spock. The natives see the ship, start drawing pictures of it on the ground. Pointless scene other than worth a chuckle. Cue credits. We're into the movie. Now we're into the opening. Cut to Starfleet Academy or Commander, wherever the hell they are.
And Medea's chilling.
Medea? Oh, Yeah, Tyler Perry's there for some reason.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah,
he's like the speaker.
Actually, we're missing that. I'm jumping all over. First, cut to the scene of a Starfleet officer and his dying child.
Some terrorist shit going on.
Right? He's confronted by a man, John Harrison, tall British man, who offers to save the kid's life under one condition. We don't know what that is until we see that said officer, the guy from Doctor Who, detonating a bomb. Within, what was it, a library? Some sort of archive?
They said it was an archive, but then it turned out to be like a super secret
research facility. Right. Kind of thing.
What kind of idiot blows that shit up after your son got saved? Like, I'm just going against the deal. My son's good? Reporting this dude.
Well, our villain likes to smash heads. He did it a few times or tried to do it. So
that's true.
He would have gotten a head smash.
That's true, but he didn't know that.
So he takes off his ring, drops it in some water. Pretty cool bomb. Blows up the whole place. Now, cut to Starfleet, where Kirk and Spock are headed in to find out why they're being summoned. Kirk wants it to be that they're going on a 5-year mission. Little nod to the entire series with that. Turns out he's being reprimanded and stripped of his captainhood by Admiral Pike.
That's RoboCop, right?
No. Admiral Pike is his mentor.
Yeah.
Oh, all right, all right.
Yeah. RoboCop comes later. Now, this part seemed very messy to me because it was like, Kirk, you're no longer captain. I'm captain. You're first officer. Wait, now he's captain. He's been transferred to that ship. It's like, can we get on with this? Did we need to strip him of command in the first place?
Bro. What was the point of transferring Spock? It was kind of
the
useless,
nerds would have been an uproar if there wasn't proper Starfleet command like
protocol.
Like.
It just seems stupid because cut to the next scene where they're in Starfleet command and they're discussing the terrorist attack and who this John Harrison is. And there is your RoboCop as Admiral Marcus, Peter Weller. Awesome performance by him in this movie, I thought.
Yeah, him and that and Dark Knight were just like. Really, he did really good. I just like it.
Yeah, hopefully he gets a little resurgence coming because the guy's good.
It's been few and far between since RoboCop.
Now,
no, he's had a couple things. Dexter.
He was on Dexter.
And I don't know if you guys watched Longmire.
No.
I watched like the first 4 episodes.
He was featured in like an episode of that.
Star Trek.
What?
We're getting back to it.
Yeah, Star Trek.
We got a lot of movie to cover
here.
Let's
go.
Okay.
We're like 12 minutes in.
So.
Yeah, 30 seconds.
We were trying to keep this tight. So now they're in this command central. They're discussing the terrorist attack, and Kirk has the bright idea that, of course, why would they bomb a library unless it was to get all the admirals and commanders into one room?
But that's my bad. You keep going.
No, continue.
But that's retarded because clearly it wasn't just a library, is what they were saying. It was where all the intelligence was. So once again, that wasn't the reason for why.
But I guess, hey, If it works, it works.
He was right, but he was wrong.
See, my bigger complaint with it was that John Harrison shows up in a ship and just starts blasting. He didn't have a missile? Something that would take them all out, instead he's spraying bullets. And he does manage to kill Pike.
Ah, I like that guy,
which
too.
Means that Kirk is now captain again, so that whole
Kirk wasn't captain for maybe like,
but they could have disabled him.
Yeah, that was a 10-minute clusterfuck of protocol.
Yeah,
of your first mate. Oh wait, no, you're captain. Seemed useless. So Admiral Marcus, RoboCop, now charges Kirk and the crew with headed to the Klingon homeworld. All right, before I get to that, another little dicey piece of teleportation there. How did John Harrison get teleported from the ship? After Kirk takes it out,
he's a genius.
Onto Kronos, which is another planet.
He's a fucking genius. I don't know. I mean, that's what I think.
Well, they mentioned that he stole the formula from and Scotty. Adjusted.
From Scotty, but even Scotty couldn't.
But he
off.
Said yeah, he must have advanced the formula or something.
Couldn't
like
he?
That.
Did they touch on that?
He kind of said like he, you know, the formula. He must have took it to a new level.
It's a dialogue heavy movie, so I imagine there's a lot that I missed while chuckling at something or while enjoying another part.
Yeah, I don't want to be like I don't want to make the pun, but like I think I kind of spaced through that whole beginning. I don't remember any of that shit.
And when we talked about the end before, you were like, "What?"
The end was awesome, I thought, but we'll get there later.
Yeah, but he didn't know any. Like he knew they were chasing motherfuckers. He didn't know why.
I mean, there was a lot of popcorn in me.
Yeah. Popcorn.
So, all right. So he teleports to Kronos. We know the Klingon homeworld, and we know that the Federation is on the verge of war with the Klingons.
You see, I thought that was cool because I was not advertised getting Klingons in the movie.
I did not expect that either. That was a nice touch. I would have liked to see more of them.
But I think the next movie or the movie after that, they'll like you're going to throw a huge Klingon movie, get like a huge Klingon bad guy. But it was kind of nice that even though it's not this particular bad guy in this movie, they still threw in a huge part of the Star Trek world.
Right. Yeah. Which was a nice touch. So he charges Kirk and the crew to go down to Kronos and fire these new fangled torpedoes at Harrison and wipe him out.
Can we get political? Like he's Obama, like narking an American citizen style. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm sorry, but that was like that's what he's saying, go there, kill this guy. No trial, no nothing. We're murking this
it's
dude.
Very Zero Dark 30.
It's like all right, I'm done with that. But I just had to say that.
Okay.
The whole beginning had that feel, the Muslim terrorist feel with the bombing, and then murk this dude.
He's
no longer an American.
He's absolutely a terrorist.
This dude is no longer part of Star Trek Academy.
It is a movie about terrorism, essentially.
Yeah.
Space terrorism.
Down to him flying a ship into a building at the end.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
It's all there. It covers all that shit. All right, so where were we? So he charges them with going to get him. They agree, but they don't all agree. For example, Scotty decides he's a conscientious objector.
He gives Kirk an ultimatum.
Yeah. He doesn't like these torpedoes on board. They're not a warship, so on and so
forth. Screw these torpedoes, Kirk.
I cannot do it, Captain.
Yarg!
He didn't realize this wasn't a British Shaun of the Dead or something.
I like where you guys went. You're like, and Chewbacca was there.
He's essentially Chewbacca in the movie.
Yeah, I guess.
He's got witty banner with fucking
he's
Han
got the
Solo
little, he's
Kirk,
got the
like,
little Chewbacca guy with him too. The little dude.
That's my complaint. There wasn't enough of the little guy.
The little guy's awesome.
He's like, just kind of there, dude. It's like that thing in the Island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah. It's super Star Warsy. That whole like that guy too. Like there's a bunch of Star Warsy.
Dude, you know what he looks like? The little pigs in the Strikes Back, where they like they take apart C-3PO. He looks just like that.
Yeah.
An Ugnaught.
You fucking know the name of that shit?
Of course I do. All
right.
He's not a Trekkie.
How dare you doubt me? All right, so they're headed to Kronos. Spock and Uhura manage to convince Kirk to not fire missiles. But
Uhura.
Oh, my.
Oh, but they have the stowaway.
Oh.
I'm past.
Ridiculously woo! Hot stowaway. Yeah.
Okay. Never sit next to Brian when there's a hot chick on screen. Because all you hear the entire movie is,
being that we're here, did you see the?
I said.
You see the article on that where they were talking about how they objectified her.
Yes.
In that scene when her like when they're showing her ass and shit. I mean, I think everyone there was like, "Damn!" when they showed her ass. So
all the black people were like, "Damn."
No, but here's the thing: it was gratuitous and
but
unnecessary.
Like, every movie,
but
it's
we
like,
see Kirk without a shirt on.
That's
every movie.
That point was made in.
Was it?
Yep. Yeah, in that article, that's what they said.
I don't want to get too off. Well,
that's what
off
Abrams
top,
said, or one of them said.
But I saw Conan O'Brien, where J.J. Abrams was a guest, and they show this weird shower scene with Benedict Cumberbatch. where he's just like looking super like brooding, just letting it water wash over him with evil music playing. And I'm like, well, no fucking wonder you deleted that shit. It was just super weird. It's like, and then, of course, Conan put like fucking sexy jazz music to it.
Like softcore Skinamax music?
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
Well, I mean, this little trollop was delicious.
I know. You said it 9 times. Or...
I mean, I definitely know everything she did. She was RoboCop's daughter.
Well, her name is Carol Marcus. I forgot what the
she
fake
got
name.
Married to Vincent Entourage.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
she did. And she was in that She's Too Good for You or something. What was that?
No, it was Out of My League. Out of my league. Yeah. Right.
Well, she plays Carol Marcus. Again, she had a fake name when she stowed aboard the Enterprise as a science officer when actually she is Peter Weller's daughter. Admiral Marcus's daughter.
See, I didn't get the whole throwback to it. I didn't realize that she was a character in like
they wanted that to
Wrath
be.
Con.
I think they wanted. That
I just knew that she was going to bang Kirk eventually somehow,
which she didn't.
No, she never. She never messed with him. She
doesn't. Not in the movie.
They fought.
In theory, she's the character that has his baby.
That's the yeah. Right? But that's the thing that threw me was they didn't set her up as a love interest.
Oh, they definitely did.
They didn't explore it at all.
That's true.
She was there to take her clothes off in one scene.
Yeah.
There it is.
That's clearly eventually
that's that creepy noise.
It's not creepy.
It's the sound I imagine would be like sitting next to a dude like a little too close in an adult movie theater. It's every few minutes.
No, people are there for straight business in an adult movie theater.
No, but you sound like...
There's no taking it in.
You sounded like you were rubbing one out is my point.
Nah, it's a sound... I don't want to compare myself to that, but it sounds like a pedophile makes a door like overlooking a parking lot of a middle school.
Giggity.
Yeah, that's you. That's you right there to a T. All right. Well, she's on board.
Hell yeah, she's on board. You know what's funny? I think they wanted it to be a big reveal when she was RoboCop's daughter, but like
everyone
was like, oh, I won't shoot down the plane. If it wasn't for even if my daughter's on it.
Like, Dave was sitting next to me. He's like, she's going to be the traitor. I was like, maybe.
There's a lot of stuff that they telegraph real early in the movie that comes to pass. So you kind of knew she was going to. Although, why was she British and him not? Her dad.
I noticed that too.
Like he definitely sounded
maybe
nothing
her,
like a
maybe
British
her
guy.
Mom's British.
You know,
I know it just seemed like a weird choice.
I think they had mentioned that he's from London, right?
I guess probably. I don't remember it well, but I guess the original character might have been British.
You know, it's funny. Whenever there's a British actor, they always have to pretend to be English. But apparently, if you're a British woman, you can talk with your British accent and be American.
Is she actually British? I never heard her speak.
She kind of
she does an
like
accent
that.
In everything she does. Yeah. So she's either British or like Australian or like. Some shit.
Fair enough. All right. Back to the movie. All right. So they arrive on Kronos and they decide to take a little away team of Kirk, Spock, and Uhura to the surface of Kronos to try to track down Harrison. On the way, they are surrounded by Klingons. Cue to a pretty cool action scene. I thought the Klingon warbirds looked really cool.
They were awesome.
Yeah. Like, they look kind of super cheesy in every show, but in the movie they had like the wings were moving. And
they look real good. I thought they were gonna have a fight with the Enterprise, but they ended up just being there for like awesomeness.
That scene was straight out of Star Wars. That entire like space, like two little ships like chasing each other, just reminded me too much of Star Wars. I don't know, maybe I'm crazy.
So now comes Uhura's only part of the movie where she serves any purpose. She speaks Klingon to
them. She's hot too throughout the movie. But
yeah, she got overshadowed, dude. Normally, Brian would be like,
Zoe Saldana.
All over Zoe Saldana.
I mean, she was already in the first one. I didn't see this other girl coming.
So they're on the surface. Negotiations with the Klingons go bad. Turns into an action scene. Who saves them? But John Harrison just jumps down, starts blowing motherfuckers away.
Oh, bro, he fucking runs out there like fucking the Ninja Turtles, dude. He's
got a fucking like Gatling gun or something, yeah. Whipping it around. That was a pretty cool scene. Mm-hmm. Should also mention before they land on the planet, Sulu takes command of the Enterprise and delivers a pretty stern warning to Harrison.
Where he takes the captain's chair and
that was like, I think I like this.
I feel like that was a throwback. Eventually, when he takes the chair back, he's like,
yeah,
he's like, it's hard to leave the chair or something like that.
I thought that was a cool scene.
I think it'd be funny if Harold did like a straight up Takai impression the whole time. Like,
John Harrison. Oh my. But I did enjoy Bones' line there. He's like, Mr. Sulu, remind me to never piss you off. So they take care of the Klingons. Harrison confronts the heroes and seems very concerned about these torpedoes. 72 of them, I should add, and agrees to be taken into custody, which they do.
I will say real quick that I like the way the Klingons looked. I thought they were going to look stupid like they did on the show.
I like the Klingon look.
And there was one brief moment where you get to see the Klingon weapon.
Yeah.
The blade.
Mm-hmm. It's the real curved quick. The crest of the moon blade, right?
Yeah, yeah. But you do see it. I like that they threw in little details like that.
Anyway, and I was okay with the ridges on their heads were downplayed. And they gave them, like, piercings. They looked, dare I say it, Justin, a little arabesque. Look a little Middle Eastern.
I mean, that's, and the Star Trek
they
universe.
Look like they could have been Persians in 300. Like Xerxes' boys.
Yeah, yeah.
Kicking down totally. The well style.
They're definitely, I mean, out of the Star Trek universe, they definitely are the terroristic type people. Like, looking like people. Like,
so, but their armor looked cool. And I think they did a good job with them. I wasn't disappointed by the Klingons.
Mm-hmm. They smoothed their look out.
Yeah.
Was this planet something important? They didn't actually like.
It's Kronos. It's the Klingon homeworld.
Oh, but so that why they say this? Why they think it was a like some uninhabited?
No, they didn't think it was uninhabited. The whole reason why they didn't want them to go. I actually watched this part is because they didn't want to start a fucking intergalactic war. With the Klingons.
But they were going to shoot the missiles. They thought it was
uninhabited. Because Marcus, Admiral Marcus, wants to kickstart
the
war.
Oh, so Marcus was lying about it.
Yes, as one of the villains of the movie.
So, this super genius guy, like, why did he not think that Marcus wanted to start a war? Marcus awakened him
and
started a war.
That's his concern.
But it was with the bodies in there. I'm saying,
with
like,
the torpedoes. That was his concern. Those were his concerns.
Why teleport back to Kronos where he could?
Because it's kind of a safe haven for him. He could hide out on Kronos, and nobody's going to come looking for him from the Federation for fear of a war.
I guess it
kind of
works.
That's why he had to kind of call the bluff and get captured.
That's true.
So, now he's back on the ship in which we find out the origin of John Harrison. Is that he's not John Harrison. His name is Khan! It was a cool delivery when he said it. Like a total of four people clapped in the theater.
I mean, we talked about it on this week on Paint It Black. I am fucking ashamed that people clapped during that. There was like, Khan, it's Khan!
And it was literally, I was watching the people come out because you guys all went to the bathroom again after the movie and I was just standing there. There were a couple guys in Federation t-shirts. I imagine it was them.
You know, though, I remember going to a lot of stupid midnight releases like Lord of the Rings and all that, and there's a lot of clapping at like randomly stupid shit.
Yeah,
so,
but
I mean,
you know what? It can be fun in the right environment.
Yeah, it's true. Midnight release, there's always that ridiculous.
There's only one time to clap, and it's when the Death Star blows up.
Me and Brian went to see the Boondock Saints 2 opening night and have been being big fans of the first one.
It was an awesome movie.
It was clapping every 2 seconds.
Almost like the first one, but still an awesome movie.
But you're also in a theater, a sold-out theater, with a lot of people who are obviously fans of this kind of, not indie,
it's
but
indie movie,
very cult movie. Yeah. And you can't help but get caught up in the energy sometimes. And just, you buy into it, you enjoy it.
I felt there was way too much clapping in that, though. Like, every time something there was a reference to the first movie came out, they're like, yeah!
Yeah, it got a little overboard.
I mean, whenever What's-His-Name came back from the dead. And,
well, I enjoyed that part because The Rock was an awesome character. But let's not get veered too far away.
I'm just pointing out an instance where I don't mind it. Okay, so now we find out the origins of Khan, which have not strayed much from the original source material. Khan is a 300-year-old, essentially, Superman, a genetically engineered Superman. One of there's a whole race of these guys, and he was brought back to life after being put into suspended animation by Admiral Marcus in order to help him build something. And we eventually find out it's that giant warship that he was helping him out with. Mm-hmm. Of course, Khan goes rogue, takes on the name John Harrison, and there he is. And we also find out within those torpedoes, they take him to an abandoned planet surface, crack them open, they're filled with bodies. Each one has a frozen body of one of Khan's people inside it. Hence why he didn't want them firing on him on Kronos.
I just rewind it back. Why was Khan at the blast site?
Which blast site?
The original blast site that he had when he did the terror stack.
The guy goes through with it.
He was keeping an eye on the dude.
Yeah.
Remember the guy's walking in, he looks
but
all
nervous. But the blast obviously happened, right?
Yeah.
So now why is he at the blast site after he identified?
Was he there? I didn't.
He was. They had a picture of him. They showed him.
I guess you're just watching the carnage, man.
Because he's awesome. He likes to watch
it. Okay. It's weird.
He's reveling in it.
He just finished like rubbing one out.
They just throw a lot of weird things in that have nothing to do with it just for the hell of it. But all right.
Because it looks cool.
Yeah, well, exactly. It fits the storyline a little bit.
They find out who he was in the story.
I'm about to be sorry for interrupting. Go ahead.
No. Interrupt away. But where'd I leave off? So that's why they didn't want why he didn't want the torpedoes fired because they hold his compatriots. Okay, so cut to Scotty now. Scotty's been given coordinates by Kirk, who was given them by Khan to find out the truth. And what does he stumble across but a giant warship?
Wait, wasn't he DWI-ing? Because he was getting wasted at the
bottom. Yeah, he totally was hammered.
And all of a sudden he's flying a spaceship.
That was another good line in the movie when he's at the club with his little buddy. And Kirk calls him up. He's like, are you drinking? He's like, what I do in my spare time is my own. I was like, right on. So he discovers the USS Vengeance, which is Marcus's ship built by Khan. It basically looks like a badass Enterprise.
Yeah, I think it was gigantic.
Like five times the size. It's a warship.
It was vicious in the movie. Like all the stuff it was doing, it was twice as fast as it caught him in light speed.
Yep. Well, they're about to take Khan back to the Federation to be tried. That's what they end up deciding to do. And before that, little plot point. It was one of those like telegraphing moments, one of those winks to the camera, where Bones is checking out Khan's blood for its special properties. And he injects a dead tribble with the blood. Right there, you're like, someone's going to die, and this is going to save him.
Yeah, so absolutely.
A little bit of like a...
Although I was hoping it wouldn't, kind of. For some reason, I just wanted, at the end, I mean, we'll talk about it after, but I just want it not to happen like I knew it was going to happen, because that'd be awesome. And for some reason, they just did that.
Kirk's just dead. It's over, guys.
Yeah, if they committed to it.
Yeah, that'd be crazy. I mean, just like that idea would be nuts.
Well, but, we'll touch on that. Yeah. Another, like, they threw in a little bit of... I enjoyed the fact that there was a tribble there. Like, I was like, that's a good nod to
Kirk's just murdered, and fucking Spock gets a folded up Confederation flag, and it's just over.
I think I actually went to the bathroom when he injected it.
Oh, you didn't see that?
It was
a
total surprise that
That happened. Yeah. Well, the movie's filled with little like nods and winks to Star Trek lore. For example, when Bones and what's her name? I forget her name. Or Carol are on the planet surface testing the bomb. Bones is like, I once helped the Gorn give birth. And if you ever want to laugh your ass off, YouTube Kirk Gorn fight. Because you could see the zipper on the suit, like the alien suit. It's nice. Really bad. But like little winks like that, it's cool. So on their way back, they get intercepted by the Vengeance, which then chases them into light speed after Kirk disobeys the order to surrender Khan to him. Am I getting that right?
Yeah.
I think I'm getting that right. Well, the Vengeance is a lot stronger, catches up to him in light speed. Cue the awesome fucking basically dogfight between the two ships, with the Enterprise getting thoroughly spanked.
Oh, Enterprise got destroyed right quick by that shit.
Yeah. And, you know, he won't blow up the Enterprise, Marcus, because his daughter's on there. Which, again, they just promptly, like, beam her, and she's gone.
That, I thought, I didn't see how that could even happen.
Yeah. So
the intergalactic space travel or the beaming?
How did he just magically beam the one person?
Bro, he beamed the
we're in the middle of
Kronos,
space
I
going
mean,
light speed with Klingons and Vulcans. Like, whatever.
Well, now they're about to fire again on the Enterprise now that they got the daughter off. But Scotty, good old Scotty, has sabotaged the weapon systems on the Vengeance, giving enough time for Kirk, Spock, to team up with Khan and board the Vengeance in order to take it out from the inside. Another cool action scene, them jettisoning out of the airlock through all the rubble into the Vengeance. I thought that was a pretty cool scene.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it's like we were just talking about it, that moment in Dead Space.
Oh, my God, yeah. It was just like – I was thinking that when I was playing – when I was watching the movie, I was like, this is just like that scene from Dead Space, dude, where you get shot across space into one part of the ship to the other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the few moments in the movie that warranted 3D, at least a little bit.
I remember we saw that shit in 3D. It was actually a decent movie in 3D.
Can I tell you, though? J.J. Abrams, lens flares suck in 3D. They're distracting and they hurt your eyes.
He apparently, we should have done IMAX because he filmed it for like an hour of it in IMAX camera.
Really?
I don't know what the hell that means, but.
Meaning we should have seen it in full IMAX.
Yeah, that's what they were saying. Like, it was filmed for IMAX.
What the fuck was that? Was that Ted?
Yeah, this. I guess if you jiggle his head, he talks.
Oh, there's a bobblehead of Ted. He talks. Okay, so they manage to board the ship, cue another good like fight sequence, then working their way through the halls. They end up on the bridge, and Khan smooshes Admiral Marcus's head with his bare hands.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
It was a pretty cool death. They didn't show anything, of course.
This is after Khan got like stunned 9 times.
Oh, well, they get to the bridge, and I think Spock stuns Khan so they could take him back into custody.
Didn't work.
Peter Weller's got a clause on his contract. He's like, I got to get mauled up if I'm in a movie.
Then he agrees, Khan agrees to send Kirk back to his own ship because, I forgot his exact line. But no ship deserves to go down without its captain. He had some really good, like, deep grumbly lines. I enjoyed his performance a lot.
Yeah, he was really good. That's your boy from Elementary? Not Elementary. Sherlock.
From Sherlock. Yeah. I thought he was really good in the role of Khan.
That's the guy from Sherlock?
Yeah.
That's
Sherlock.
I haven't watched that show, but...
yeah, that's him.
I mean, I don't watch enough TV, that's what it is.
But he plans to... He sends Kirk back in exchange for the torpedoes, plans to destroy the Enterprise, and Spock instead beams the torpedoes back armed, without the bodies. He keeps the cryopods on the Enterprise, blows up the Vengeance, or so we think. Now the Enterprise is plummeting to Earth, and cue another big expensive-looking shot of Kirk running through the thing to get it back online, and now we're straight into Wrath of Khan.
Is this where he's going through the radioactive part?
The gravity.
Almost
gravity,
there. Yeah. I want to cycle back for a second and take and mention something that took me right out of the movie, and that was the appearance of old Spock right before.
Oh, yeah.
You knew he was coming on. As soon as Spock was like, let's talk to the...
I thought they were just giving him a farewell in the first movie. Like, I didn't know he was coming back again. Yeah. Like, every
movie. I thought they said in the first movie that they can't interact anymore.
Yeah.
And then
Leonard Nimoy needed money.
He's like, you know, like how Stan Lee shows up in every Marvel movie?
Right.
It takes me out of it.
Does it really?
It does, because now it's like, oh, it's Stan Lee, I'm in a movie.
It's a quarter of a second, though, when Stan Lee shows up.
It's like, where's Waldo?
This was more than a quarter of a second, and he just directly references.
Everybody claps at those, by the way, whenever Stan Lee shows up.
I can't tell you how was it, my interactions with Khan, but I tell you, it was very costly.
Yeah, because he died. He died in Wrath. They're directly referencing the movie that they're remaking. I don't know if that's meta. I don't know if that's a good thing.
No, but it's even weird because it's in the same world, though. If you remember, Star Trek 1 is in the same world as this particular Star Trek universe. In the first movie, they just undid everything they did.
Changed the timeline.
Just changed the timeline. So technically, you're still in that world. Like, Spock, that's old Spock.
Khan is now a British gentleman instead of a Hispanic guy with long flowing locks and great pants.
And a Uhura is a dime piece.
Yeah, that's true. I hope it doesn't go south for new Uhura like it did with old Uhura.
Yes.
You don't, I'd like to watch new Uhura do the fan dance, not the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right. I thought it was a cop out. And they're like, you know, how do I defeat him? And
he's very dangerous.
Yeah.
That's
like,
it. I was like, okay, that was unnecessary.
Think of your own fucking plan. You know?
Old Spock's a dick.
And how much did that calculate into Spock's calculations? I mean,
interesting.
I mean, because Spock's got that stupid mathematical mind where he like looks at everything in a logical way. So, what old Spock said, did that determine his next plan?
All he knew is he was dangerous. We kind of established.
Yeah, he kind of realized that already. He's like, so what the hell is old Spock really saying? He's dangerous. What do they have to do with it?
Now, I should point out, I was wrong. It's not Kirk and Spock and Khan on the Vengeance. It's Kirk and Scotty.
Yes.
And Khan on the Vengeance.
Right.
Spock's back on the ship. That's where he's talking old Spock.
This whole thing is also, why the hell did he need any of them?
Who need who?
Why was Kirk or Scott needed? Like, what assistance did he really need, Khan? I mean, Khan's a badass. He could have done everything by himself.
He could have. But
so what the hell was the point of it?
Because otherwise he was kind of their prisoner. They let him out.
I mean, he surrendered to them. He probably could have escaped if he wanted to.
You had to know that even if they didn't stun him on the bridge, that he would have gone nutso on them.
Yeah, he was going rogue.
Gone all head smushy and taking them all out.
Head smushy.
All right, so Enterprise plummeting to Earth, really great effects. Spock, I should say Kirk, running through, realigns the warp core, gets the ship back online. It gets super exposed to radiation, and then you have the scene between the glass between him and Spock, which is just Wrath of Khan.
Yeah, absolutely.
Only roles reverse, because in the original, it was Spock dying and Kirk on the outside, to the most laughable line delivery of the movie.
Khan! Yeah, but this time said by Spock.
And it wasn't that good. It was too on the nose.
Yeah.
A little bit.
He was like, Khan.
While we're watching, I'm like, don't do it. Don't yell it. Don't yell it. Fuck.
Well, I don't know. I think fanboys probably like that shit.
I don't know. I'm not convinced.
I still think it was solid. From that point on, I think the action and the ending of the movie were perfect.
Now, what's Khan?
Other than that moment of him screaming, I thought the movie from there was awesome.
What's Khan's name exactly?
Khan Noon Singh?
No. The actor.
Siler.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Now, like, do you, to play Khan, do you have to have, like, a fantastic name, like, because the first guy I played it was Ricardo Montalban. Like,
exactly. I think you're right. I think you need a perfectly glorious multi-syllable name.
This guy's like, I was in, you know, Sherlock and the BBC and all this stuff. It's like, look, we just picked your name out of a bunch. Like, your name's fantastic. That's how we did it with the Ricardo Montalban. We never saw Treasure Island. It was a Fantasy Island.
Fantasy Island. We just knew he had a great name. Serious pectorals.
Fantastic.
Seriously, go back and watch. They look fake.
William Shatner shows them.
He's got plastic titties.
I like this guy's
in
name.
No, it's supposedly his real physique, but they just look fake.
That's because he looks like fucking... oh my God, who's that Leatherface guy? Richard Hamilton.
Yeah, all right. George Hamilton.
George Hamilton, yeah.
The orange guy, yeah. And another thing, if you're going to pull a line, how do you get rid of, "From hell's heart, I stab at thee"? I love that. Going to Moby Dick right before, I don't know. Instead we go with Khan.
You know what, I thought it was, I wasn't expecting it, like I was just, this movie, I definitely wasn't like trying to jump ahead and be like, what's going to happen? I was just kind of taking it all in,
right?
Let it come to me. And it just seemed like that line just came out of nowhere real fast and they just moved on. Like, I remember when Kirk delivered it, Shatner, it was like really drawn out a little bit, like it was like a big building
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, it was Shatner.
But know? I'm saying, like, this was just like, Spock was like, Kirk's dead. Khan! Like, next scene, like...
Well, I was telling you about the Abrams interview with Jon Stewart, right? I'm sure people have seen it, where Abrams pretty much has said he wasn't a Star Trek fan. Yeah. You know, he liked Star Wars a little more. His producer didn't watch Star Trek at all. And then a bunch of the guys who filmed it were big Star Trek guys. And he thought he made the film so that, you know, everyone would like it. So, I mean, it could just be, like, he was trying to create this throwback, you know,
I thought scene. The whole movie was a throwback.
Yeah, there were a lot of throwbacks.
There's a lot of throwbacks.
But, yeah.
I don't know. Second he's running for the warp core, I was like, Kirk's going to die. And then I thought back to Tribble. Kirk's going to live. Like, it's just a lot of little things like that.
Yeah, it was small little things.
But, all right. So, Kirk dies. Khan. Now, Khan, in the Vengeance, crashes it into downtown San Francisco, into, I believe it was the Starfleet.
Yeah. That was a cool scene when the... Enterprise is just dropping out of space into Earth. I guess that's Earth.
And it falls below the clouds.
Yeah, and it's just like free falling, like, you know, some man's free fall. It's really awesome visually, yeah. I thought.
It's a nice touch. And then when it just slowly rises above the clouds.
That was cool, I thought, in 3D too, like as you saw the clouds, you know, and the Enterprise, you know, spinning and falling and stuff. I thought that was really cool in 3D.
Yeah, it was well done, definitely. So, crashes it into Starfleet. Bones, Dr. McCoy, realizes that Tribble's alive. We can save him. Spock, we need Khan alive. Why? Why do they need him alive? I know they needed
killing
his,
him actually would be much more effective.
Dead blood? Like,
they need his blood to bring Kirk back, right?
It's going to be living blood.
It's like AIDS.
Okay, even if it's living blood, they got 72 frozen motherfuckers on that ship.
I was thinking that's got to be warm. Too.
All exactly. With con blood. Why? Throw it in the microwave.
That's a good point. Why was his blood more important than his fleet? That's what I was thinking.
He had a whole... I guess they didn't want a bunch of these assholes running around.
No, that's just stupid. It's like... It makes no sense.
I don't know if it was the same in the first movie, but this is kind of like bit off a Demolition Man.
I don't know about it.
Teddy bear.
Teddy bear. No, but not the whole plot, but basically it's like... Guys trying to thaw out all his bros, and they're going to take over the galaxy. It's like the same plot as like...
Well... Technically, Wrath of Khan was before Demolition Man, so Demolition Man stole.
I don't know. I said
Khan.
I never saw that movie. I don't know if the plot's the same.
Well, I'm adjusting.
It could also be Virtuosity, right? Didn't he? Or he was in jail.
More obscure movie. Wow, in the 90s.
He was super in jail.
Was that
he
the Denzel one?
Yeah. Had Denzel, and it had fucking Maximus Aurelius.
And Russell Crowe.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
but that was there was nothing frozen.
Now that we've gone down the rabbit hole of obscurity.
In Virtuosity, he took class to remake himself.
Now, here's the real reason. Here's the real reason why they needed Khan alive. A cool chase scene.
Absolutely. That scene was awesome. I mean...
Probably my favorite scene in this entire flick.
Okay.
Is Spock chasing down Khan through the streets of San Francisco, which is in utter chaos, over these flying cars and just those two beating the ever-loving hell out of each other.
Bro, I have to disagree. I really disliked that last scene.
Really?
You're crazy.
It felt like... a level in a video game, in any video game really, or like it really kind of felt like The Matrix, the second movie where they're running on all the fucking trucks.
See, I don't feel that way. I feel like there was plenty of movies.
Morgan Freeman took the sword and chopped the thing. That
Morgan
was
Freeman
awesome.
Wasn't
Freeman.
There.
No, I mean,
the other old black guy, Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence Fishburne took the sword and chopped the shit out of his awesome.
Yeah, I felt like it was a lot like that scene where they were just kind of like running on, like crazy shit's happening everywhere, but they're still managing to keep their footing on some fucking crazy shit.
Which made it cool to me. I thought it was just a well done, cool, well crafted action scene. Perfect turn your brain off and enjoy moment. In an otherwise,
apparently, my brain was off the whole time, but my brain was like, "What? This is all bullshit."
At the end, when you're not supposed to really be focusing, you're just like, "This doesn't make any sense."
Yeah. But I still enjoyed it, and I like how they managed to get his special move in there.
He does that was cool pinch. How he delivered the Vulcan neck pinch. I like that.
Yeah, he did the nerve pinch, yeah. Almost took him out. Khan flips him over, almost does the head crunch. They're throwing out their finishers, mm-hmm. Like they're out for blood. Just before he's able to defeat Spock, Uhura beams onto their little car.
For a second scene in the movie.
Yeah. And blast Khan full of stun phasers.
Which didn't work the first time, but worked this time.
And they manage to defeat Khan, take him back to the Enterprise. Again, the whole teleporting thing, not an option.
It works when you want it to work, and if it works when you don't want it to work, don't need it to work, and then when you need it to work, it doesn't work.
I think
it's like,
like, okay, get a frequency on.
I think in the beginning,
I can beam you down.
The volcano was interfering or something.
What about when Bones is trapped to the torpedo? They couldn't just beam him up without the torpedo?
Because he was locked in.
Or beam them into that big starship.
They couldn't just beam up any organic matter and get him up. Like, I don't know how these things work.
What if it's like the Roger Rabbit method where it's only when it's inconvenient?
Only if it's funny.
Yes.
Yeah. Possibly. But let's just wrap this up because we're at the end here. Mm-hmm. So, movie's over, essentially. Kirk is alive, returns to duty as captain of the Enterprise. Khan is sealed back into his stasis tube and put away with all his boys. And the new Enterprise departs for the 5-year mission in which we've heard so much about.
You know
the
what's funny?
Series.
You know what's funny? It's full circle with this movie. It starts with Raiders of the Lost Ark and it ends with Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Had top men working on it.
Yes.
Top men.
Like basically the same scene cut out like from beginning to end. It was a good movie. I liked it.
You know they were going to keep Khan alive. Sequel possibilities. You could do The Wrath of Khan now.
The Wrath of Khan.
Is Abrams giving up now, or is it still
I don't know.
His territory?
He's got the Star Wars thing to focus
on.
Yeah,
that's two big universes to deal with.
He's got a lot of patchwork to do with that Star Wars franchise.
Something tells me he's going to be busy for a while. A
lot of holes on that ship.
So, overall thoughts on the movie?
Well, thought it was pretty good. There were a couple moments where I thought... the one scene where they're dropping out of the sky took a little too long. I thought they could have moved stuff ahead, but overall, 8.5 out of 10, I'd say.
Nice.
Yeah.
Brian, thoughts?
I for whatever reason, I was a little harsh on the action sequence, but I thought it was really fun, the whole movie. It was a good time. I did space out a little bit, but, a lot of shit's going on. I just didn't pay attention to every last little thing, but
you paid attention to Alice Eve, and that's about it.
Well, I mean, you didn't.
There's her name.
I mean, but seriously, from front to back, it was. I felt it could maybe been 15 minutes shorter, but I mean, I thought it was a really, really good movie. I mean, it flowed pretty well. The bad guy was really good. Kirk and company, all really good. I think they definitely casted a good cast to be this generation of Star Trek.
In agreement, though, that they could have cut that. That whole, you're the captain. No, now you're the captain. No, now you're first officer. I want him as my first officer.
The guy could have literally just said, you're losing your captainship, and then that guy Harrison could have just came down and shot the whole place.
And done away with the whole nonsense.
Yeah, they could have just been like...
Yeah, because you start off on a good, strong action note, and then you're like, bureaucracy.
Yeah, I mean, well, the nerd outcry if there wasn't proper Starfleet management protocol.
What would you rate this?
It's as a sci-fi movie, it was pretty good. I gotta give it, was it 8 doors out of 10?
8 out of 10. Not bad. Justin, thoughts?
Good summer movie.
I thought it was really good. I mean, the last 35 minutes, I think really, action-wise, just brought the movie together. Movies usually end not as strongly, and that, it was just awesome. It was just over the top. But not too over the top and perfect crazy action and enjoyable.
Sure.
I liked it. I'd say about
8.5. I mean, I'm not a big Star Trek fan. I've obviously watched Star Trek.
You don't have to be a big Star Trek fan to enjoy these new crop of movies.
We rate things in doors here.
Oh, we got to do doors?
Yes.
What's the reason behind that?
Because it's painted black. Everything revolves around the door. I see a red door, and I want to paint it black.
Oh, it all makes sense.
See a little symbol right there on the top corner?
That's our logo.
So okay. 8.5 doors.
8.5 doors. All right. The door thing's kind of silly, admittedly. But I'm okay with it. All right. My thoughts. While I did not enjoy it as much as the previous movie, I did enjoy this one quite a bit. There were a lot of plot holes. Some parts were a little silly. A lot of, like I mentioned, obvious winks to the camera, which kind of put me off a little bit. So I think, even though I greatly enjoyed this movie, I'm going to be a little harsher than you guys. I'm going to give it probably a 7 out of 10. 7 doors.
I think that's fair. It was
actually, Wizard, we were instituting that at 10, so to Lou.
I think it's
do that?
I started with the 10.
Yeah.
You said 10?
Yeah. No, I said I started at a 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He did that. But I think it's easier for people who aren't super into the Star Trek or know much about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like
to enjoy it. Yeah.
If you're a newbie to the whole thing, fucking sit back and enjoy. It's going to be fun.
So wait, you gave it a 10?
No, he gave out of 10.
Oh, 8.5. I actually gave it the low rating?
I gave 7 out of 10.
Oh, all right. I'm right in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I danced with 6.5. And then
you thought it was that low?
Well, here's the thing. When we were in the theater, after we left the theater, nothing but good things to say about it. The more I mold it over my head, and I tend to get movies stuck in my head and I obsess over everything, it lost a little bit for me. Like a lot of that on the nose stuff really killed me in it. And a lot of the plot holes, old Spock, a lot of things they didn't need. I think also that I liked the first one that much more.
Yeah, I agree. The first one blew me away.
The other thing. The first one came out of fucking nowhere.
Who would ever expect it to be that good?
Exactly.
Initially, when I went
to
see the first
Lost,
one,
then you watch whatever you might think there's a
shot. Yeah, but it's Star Trek. I've been a Star Wars fan my whole life, and I was so pissed off that Star Trek did in one movie what Star Wars couldn't do in three.
Make a coherent storyline under 3 hours.
A coherent prequel movie. An enjoyable one that I've watched.
It's not really a prequel.
It was not a prequel.
It's the same universe.
Yeah, but it still takes place prior to the original series.
Yeah, but that's like at the end of the Star Wars, right? Old Darth Vader comes up to young Anakin's is like, "You're gay," and just like
J.J. Abrams is in charge of both of them, and we know how he likes time travel.
I mean, Carrie Fisher has probably handled really well over time.
If there's anyone who needs time travel more than Carrie Fisher, yeah. She needs to find a DeLorean.
A TARDIS something.
You know, speaking of Star Wars, when he did the bad delivery of Khan, I was actually okay with it. I kept thinking,
no.
This is still better than no.
Yeah.
No.
But at the same time, it did remind me of it eerily at the time when we watched it.
I was like, well, it could have been no, so.
It was like that. Hopefully that doesn't go down in history as one of those moments.
He actually, I sounded like when Spock said it didn't sound like he was screaming it. He sounded like he was like asking himself a question like, Khan?
he gave it a good yell.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he? I remember it being soft serve ice cream, dude.
Quick, I liked the Data.
Data wasn't in it.
Wasn't he?
who are you referring to?
The fucking robot guy. What? On the ship. There was a fucking robot crew member.
The guy who had one line? The bald guy in the background
just
on the
saying,
bridge?
It was cool to see him, even if it was just for a second.
Yeah, it wasn't Data, obviously.
Wasn't it?
No.
Isn't he a robot?
Yeah, Data's a robot, but that guy was no Data. He didn't look like Data.
Yeah,
he didn't
but
have the white.
He's different.
Wait,
he didn't
Data
have the white.
New
skin.
Generation, though?
Data's
new generation Data has bald hair.
Yeah, no, this particular robot may have been a precursor to Data, but he had exposed wiring in the back of his head.
It was like Bishop.
I figured he was like
he was more Bishop.
I figured he was like that same shit.
You might be right, but I think calling him Data is just confusing my nerd brain.
Wait, you know what? I don't follow it that much, so.
Did the android and alien have a name? The first one?
In the first one?
Yeah, it was the Hobbit.
What?
It was the actor who played Bilbo Baggins.
What was the name
Martin
to
Freeman?
It?
Oh, was it?
Really?
Yeah, just in the 70s. He was like,
he looked much taller.
I don't know.
Yeah, because he wasn't playing a Hobbit.
I don't know what to tell you. It's fucking graphics has changed since 1978.
Fun fact, Justin, on that, you probably don't know, but Benedict Cumberbatch plays Sherlock, right? Mm-hmm. And on that same show, The Hobbit plays Watson.
And Ricardo Montalban cheers it on.
Yeah, right. He plays Professor Moriarty.
Yes, that would be fucking awesome.
It would have been better. Jeff,
so in your cast have Benedict Cumberbund and Is that his name?
Cumberbatch.
Close enough, though. Yeah.
Cumberbund, whatever. And Ricardo Montalban? Yeah. I mean, that's a solid cast right there.
Yes, it is. Oh, all right, so I don't think we got anything else here. That's the movie.
Okay, next week, Hangover 3.
Well, let's turbo load this whole thing. Let's get the ones that we missed out of the way.
All right, we're going to come back at you with Iron Man 3, which we're going to record on our Memorial Day weekend. Like, it's been about 2-3 weeks after that. I'm going to come back. The Iron Man 3 is going to be me, Justin, and Pete. Did you see Lou?
I'm going to see it, so hopefully I'll make
it. I got it
one.
For you if you want it. I don't know how I got it.
But ooh,
I got
it. Pirating podcast.
I didn't say I pirated it. I just said somehow I have it.
And then me and Jillian, our editor, saw Gatsby. Maybe Ken, but probably just me and Jillian will do Gatsby.
There's a movie I have less interest in.
Old Sport? I mean, you have no taste. I tell you that much.
No.
I'd be willing to join you if the whole time I could just do, like, old-time radio.
It was awesome, I gotta say. And,
is that featured at all in the movie?
Welcome, ladies and gents, to the Painted Black Podcast. Da, 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 da,
yeah, bro, it's basically, without all the violence, it's Boardwalk Empire. With, you know, that era, that was all that shit.
Only since it's Baz Luhrmann, it's probably bathed in glitter and Jay-Z music. Yeah.
It was bathed in Jay-Z music. It was awesome, I gotta say. But anyway, that and the next week is going to be the Hangover 3. So you'll get all four of these podcasts within the next, like, 10 days or so.
Yeah, yeah. Let's space them out a little bit.
All right.
And then we're dangerously close to some of the big ones.
Superman comes out in 3 weeks.
Man
less
of
than 3 weeks.
Steel.
I think I'm most excited about that. I already have a poster in the podcast room of Zod saying, kneel to Superman.
Yeah. And don't forget, Pacific Rim, probably one of my top.
That's also June. I think it's a week after next
those
week.
Those are definitely number 1 and 2. Yeah. I mean, Nolan and then Guillermo.
He hasn't had a movie
forever, I mean.
Plus Charlie Day.
It's because he spent... And Jax Teller.
And Jax Teller. Whatever his name.
Charlie Hunnam? Yeah.
I forgot those are the two main guys in that movie. That's right.
Yeah. No. Charlie Day's a side character. He's like the scientist guy. He's probably going to have like two great scenes.
Wait, does Jax...
He's in the
English,
new... No, he sounds like Jax Teller.
Yeah, okay.
So you got these big monsters, bro. This guy, gotta take him
anybody
out.
Who's never heard Jax Teller speak in an interview, you should listen to it.
Yeah, he's like, yo, Sam Crow.
These giant monsters are bad for the club, man. These giant kaijus.
Do you think they're going to model one after, like, Godzilla or, like, Mothra or, like, one of
Have you seen the new trailer?
No.
I'll show it to you. They do have flying ones. They do have... That looks suspiciously like Rodan.
I got those.
Do you think it's a franchise or just a one and done?
It'll be a franchise. Yeah. If this thing does good, it'll be a franchise.
This is an add-in, but have you seen the new Batman Origins promo?
Yes, I have. With Deadshot?
Is awesome.
Deathstroke.
It is awesome.
It looks pretty badass. Getting excited about that. You should come on A-Squad and talk about it.
I'll give it a little thought.
Yeah, A-Squad this Monday. We're going to talk about the Xbox One. So they didn't really reveal much except the fact that...
I don't like any of it.
just name one.
It's like a computer, but not a video game system.
No, they're like, now you can watch TV on your TV through your Xbox. It's like, shut up.
You can Skype people.
Yeah. And then tomorrow we're going to do Paint It Black podcast, our weekly podcast. And then that's our slate for this, at least the next 10 days.
Yeah, at least for the next few days.
Yeah.
So follow us on Twitter at PIB Comics. Email us at paintitblackcomics@gmail.com. Visit paintedblackcomics.com and buy some shit. Like us on Facebook. And most importantly, tell a friend if you like listening to us. And A-Squad coming to you this week. New Painted Black this week. More bonus episodes coming soon. And that's about it.
All right, man.
So for myself, Pete Berg, Brian, Lou, and Justin, close the door behind you. We'll be right back.